The quarterback competition is officially underway, and all the players are saying all the right things. That and more on this episode of Locked On Bucs.
Your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, this WTSP Wednesday episode of Locked On Bucs, your daily podcast covering your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much for making Locked On Bucs your first listen or view every single day. Don't forget, you can subscribe or follow for free on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can follow us on Twitter. I am James Yarko at @JYarko_Bucs. And he is Evan Kolosky at @eKolosky, WTSP, your co-hosts of WTSP Wednesday of Locked On Bucs, credentialed members of the media covering your beloved Buccaneers. I am the deputy editor of SB Nation's BucsNation.com. And of course, you can check out everything that Evan is doing. There's Evan. I'm used to pointing that way because I'm on
the head. Yeah, right here.
You can find everything that Evan's doing on 10 Tampa Bay and at 10TampaBay.com. And of course, my normal co-host, David Harrison, and I are here every Monday through Friday, along with our everydayers. We always want to share our appreciation for your continued support of the show. Thank you again for making Locked On Bucs your first listener view every single day. The Baker Mayfield versus Kyle Trask fight for the starting job is officially underway, Evan. And while I think we all believe that Mayfield is going to be the guy, the players involved with the OTAs are saying all the right things to the media about both guys right now. Chris Godwin was there on Tuesday to get some reps, and he told the media, quote, "Honestly, it's just different. Anytime you have a new quarterback, it's different. Obviously, we don't know who that guy is going to be yet, but it doesn't feel weird. It just feels like you're getting reps with a bunch of guys. I get to work on my own skill development, get to work with the receivers, and then for us, we have to handle our business regardless of who's throwing the ball. We kind of discuss those things. Let's make the play when the ball comes our way. Let's make the play." I think Kyle and Baker both have done a great job so far. It's a friendly competition. There's no animosity. You can see them helping each other out. They talk through a bunch of things. I think we have a really good environment on our team right now. We're all really just trying to pull the rope in the same direction. But Chris Godwin wasn't the only one talking about the quarterback competition. Of course, there is projected tight end one, Cade Otton, who spoke about each of the quarterbacks individually. About Baker Mayfield, he said, quote, "I think he's picked up on the offense really fast. He just talked about how he's had some more systems. So just through that, he's able to have confidence in where guys are going to be and where he wants you to be and just talking through the different X's and O's. I think he's proven that he can be a winning quarterback and play at a really high level. So just the confidence he has, he's giving it to the other guys, myself included." Regarding Kyle Trask, Otton said, quote, "Yeah, I think I've seen him take a step forward in terms of leadership and confidence. I think it shows on and off the field. You hear pitchers talk about conviction when they throw the ball. I feel like I see that in Kyle a little bit more now. Just conviction and throwing the ball into spots where he thinks guys are going to be. And I'm just really excited to see how he progresses through OTAs." End quote. Evan, are we getting coach speak from these guys, so to speak, so as not to ruffle any feathers? Or is this competition a little more serious than maybe I'm giving it credit for?
It's coach speak. It's, I mean, let's just call it what it is. It's also day one of OTAs. So look, I mean, Chris Godwin, savvy veteran. He knows exactly what to say in front of a microphone to kind of keep things even keeled. On top of that, Cade Otton comes from a strong football family. Dad was a coach. He knows exactly what to do in that scenario as well. So, look, I mean, they both – Baker and Kyle are highly respected in the locker room. You know, Kyle's been there now for 2+ years. Baker, from everything that I hear, has really integrated himself well, is a guy's guy. He's affable. He's been very present. You know, something that I'm sure is a little bit change of pace for everybody in the locker room, considering the last couple of years with Tom Brady. Not that Tom wasn't affable and lovable to all the players as well. He was. His teammates love Tom Brady, but I don't think he was out there during OTAs, nor should he be as a 45-year-old quarterback that has pretty much done everything in his career. Having said that, it's going to be Baker's job to lose. It just is. They did not bring in Baker Mayfield to really have him ride pine week one. Not saying that Kyle can't win the job, just he would have to absolutely throttle Baker in the preseason to win that gig. So his level of play has to be significantly better than Baker's to win that job week one. And if he does that, the best player will play. It's just, you know, if there's a tie, it's going to go to Baker. So in doing that, Kyle has to prove himself a little bit more than Baker Mayfield. There's only so much that you can really determine off of where the Buccaneers are in camp right now. You know, they just got onto the grass with helmets, with coaches for the first time, finally putting all this language into application. That's an important process. Hearing from Chris Godwin, they said they felt like they were moving pretty fast, or Baker Mayfield said this actually, they were moving pretty fast for a day one. Everyone's sort of on the same page. Everyone's kind of learning together, which is nice because there's not really anyone that has a full edge on anyone else. Baker's familiar with this type of system, language, different, Canales adding a little bit of twist. So Baker actually probably has a slight edge on what to expect come the offensive install. But yeah, to me, it's Baker and Kyle fighting in italics for the job. It's, you know, it's going to be Baker probably getting the ones and Kyle getting the twos, and maybe Kyle gets a little bit more two reps than the average across the NFL would get. I'm sure in the preseason, Kyle will get a fair share of playing time as well. Maybe they allow Kyle to even start a preseason game. They're going to make it aesthetically look like a battle, but we know what's going to happen pretty much, you know, reading between lines.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of something that David and I have leaned on quite a bit. You know, you rewind the clock back to Brady's first retirement and the Buccaneers were interested in trading for Baker Mayfield. You rewind to last offseason and Dave Canales, part of the Seahawks, who were interested in trading for Baker Mayfield. So all the signs point to the fact that Baker Mayfield is going to be the guy. But like you said, it's not impossible for Kyle Trask to, you know, not win this job. You know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Kyle goes out there. He was a late bloomer in high school. He was a late bloomer at Florida. Maybe he goes out and just absolutely rips it up and, you know, in a Seahawks-esque kind of way, when Russell Wilson forced their hand, you know, they gave Matt Flynn all that money and free agency to come in and be their quarterback. And Russell Wilson was just so good that you had to respect that. You had to be able to put him on the field. So I agree that it's Baker's job to lose for sure. But there is kind of a competition because Trask can go out there and impress everyone. And one of the people that he's going to have to impress the most is, of course, offensive coordinator Dave Canales. And he is getting a lot of early praise. That is coming up next here on Locked On Bucs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And of course, Locked On Bucs is brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs, because right now new customers can get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That is $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. On Monday, the Denver Nuggets punched their ticket to the NBA Finals by sweeping the Lakers, and Denver is now minus 270 favorites to win the NBA Finals, regardless of who comes out of the East. The Heat and the Celtics are squaring off as of this recording. I'm not going to lie. Nuggets and Heat would definitely be an interesting series after the little mini fight that ensued between the two teams earlier in the year.
Who are you picking? Who are you going to bet?
I'm getting to that, Evan. I'm getting to that.
Oh, because so, I just want to let people out there know you want to pick the opposite team.
I was going to say, I'm leaning the Miami Heat because Jimmy Jordan is just killing it right now, which means all of our listeners and viewers should definitely go with the Denver Nuggets. David's going to be very happy to hear me say that. But no matter what you bet, there's no better place to bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sports book. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. Thank you again for making Locked On Bucks your first listen or view every single day. Every dayers, make sure to come back and check out tomorrow's episode. I will be joined by Bucks Game Day's Logan Robinson to discuss his takeaways from the OTAs. It's the first time I will have Logan on. You all have heard Logan before. It's the first time I'm going to get to sit down with him. Excited to do that as I give David another day off for covering last week in such epic fashion the way he did. But Evan, Dave Canales has been getting a lot of love from everyone that has spoken with the media. And on Tuesday, head coach Todd Bowles was speaking about Dave Canales and said, quote, "I think Dave is a great teacher, not with just the players, but the coaches. He's smart enough to know what he doesn't know, or he's smart enough to know that he doesn't know everything, which for us coaches is sometimes a problem, me included. But he understands the game and he understands the value of possessions. He understands the value of time. He understands trying to take advantage of certain plays when they cut other plays off. Hopefully that helps us going forward. He continues to seek advice. He continues to have knowledge and seek knowledge of the ball game. That's what drew me to him in the first place. Hopefully that leads to some success on the field," end quote. Chris Godwin, who, again, spoke with the media, he was there. Devin White and Lavonte David were not, but it was optional. It was optional. Everybody calm down. But Chris Godwin was talking about Dave Canales and said, "I like him. I really do. I think the first thing that really comes to mind is that he's a very smart guy. You can really tell that he, one, really loves ball, but he really knows what he wants to do in terms of installing the offense and attacking the defense. I think that that really comes off in meetings. It comes off in how he delivers messaging to guys in the meeting room, on the field. I think the guys really respond well to that. He's not really like a yeller. He's not trying to cuss guys out. He's not trying to berate guys. He's a teacher. He wants to effectively communicate that. It's been working so far." So, Evan, you take a look at, by the way, shots fired at Bruce Arians from Chris Godwin talking about, you know, Dave Canales not being a yeller and a cusser, but lots of love for Canales.
That wasn't really shots.
Lots of love, but that doesn't necessarily translate to success on the field. But what are your initial thoughts on kind of how Canales has been, his rapport? I mean, you were able to see a little bit of what he was doing out there today. So, you know, what's kind of your initial takeaways of Dave Canales?
Yeah, and first I do want to say Chris Godwin being there today, very impressed by him. It doesn't mean I'm unimpressed by those veterans who do not show up, because it was very clear. It seemed like anybody who was – on their second deal, that they were not a rookie, or if they were not injured, let me back this track. If you had a second deal, or you were injured, you weren't there, essentially, outside of Chris Godwin, it felt like. You know, remember Tristan Wirfs still on that rookie deal. He was out there, you know, and not to mention free agent signings and all that stuff. Like Baker came in, but this is his first year with the team. Greg Gaines came in, but this is his first year with the team. So, don't worry about all that stuff. Very common, especially when you want the young guys or the new guys to get used to the coaches, get more reps. It's just, it's not really needed. Oh, and I want to mention, also in that same category is Antoine Winfield Jr. So he was also there, but he fits sort of that Tristan Wirfs kind of mold. With Dave Canales, I'll tell you this. I was watching practice. You know, we had about 30 or so minutes open to the media, and then we were actually able to watch and be there the whole time. Just couldn't shoot it with video. And the amount of motion in this offense, like, holy smokes, coming off of what we saw last year.
Hey, you're allowed to send guys in motion?
Yeah, I think that's the number one thing that jumps out to me. And also the utilization of a tight end. I saw that little bit of wrinkle from what we see in Seattle, working the seams with the tight end. I saw those seam passes. That's, Kate Otten talked about that. There's going to be opportunities for tight ends in this offense. Canales is an energy guy. He's moving around constantly. He was working specifically with the quarterbacks, very hands-on. And I don't know what's going to happen for the upcoming season. I think Dave is going to have a little bit of a roller coaster year. I mean, it's his first year calling plays, even though he's called plays in practice before. But, there's a part of me that thinks he's going to come in. His new wrinkles are going to surprise teams. People will figure him out. There's going to be a little bit of adjustment of what happens when these defensive coordinators figure you out a little bit and how do you kind of mix it up. And we'll kind of just ride that wave, calling plays at certain times. I mean, just there's going to be some natural learning curves. And the best part about Dave is he's very self-aware. I think he understands the opportunity in front of him. I think he knows that he doesn't know everything, as Bowles said. So I'm just, every time he speaks, I'm super impressed by what I hear from Dave. He's just watching him go to work for the first day of OTAs, it just seems like he has a command on things, and the players, they're riding with him. He's very easy to like, and he sells you on his dream, which is the most important part. Is, I need to make you a believer in what we're doing, and the buy-in will be there, especially because for a lot of these veterans too, offensive line included, what they had to learn in the past and what they're going to have to learn in this offense is going to be a lot easier on them. For me, I'm buying stock in Dave Canales, but I'm also not someone who's buying so much stock as to think that this guy has it all figured out and is going to crush it day one. So be patient with him. But for me, I can understand why Todd Bowles went with him in his hire. And I'm optimistic about what we're going to see from this unit coming in the fall.
All right. You heard it there. Evan Klosky guarantees a Buccaneer Super Bowl victory in 2020.
Correct. That's exactly. Yep.
All on the shoulders.
May 23rd.
All right. Well, hopefully things work out. I'm excited about the Dave Canales hire. And with as much as we've talked about Baker Mayfield and we've talked about some of the changes of the offense, I don't think we've given the attention to Dave Canales that we probably should be. And I'm not saying specifically this show. I just mean Bucks coverage in general. It's all been about the players and not enough about what Canales can do to maximize the talents of these players. So it should be really, really exciting. But again, we're talking about the first day of OTAs, but the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Baker Mayfield was late to the party in Carolina last year for reasons beyond his control. And he spoke about getting reps early on in OTAs. That is coming up next here on Locked On Bucks. wrapping things up here on a WTSP Wednesday edition of Locked On Bucks podcast. James Yarko, Evan Klosky of 10 Tampa Bay. And Evan, I'm going to keep banging this drum for as long as I can. And at some point, I'm going to get to say I was right. Or there are going to be a lot of people forcing me to eat crow. And I'm not just talking about our everydayers. I'm also talking about my own father and my own son when it comes to Baker Mayfield. But he was set up for failure last season. And we can see how hard he is working in order to not replicate a season like he had last year. And that starts with actually being able to work with his teammates in May instead of being traded to a team after training camp had already begun. But Baker Mayfield was talking about the importance of OTAs and getting reps with his team. And he said, quote, "Just getting timing down, not just for me and the quarterbacks, but for everybody getting the system down, getting the fundamentals down. That was the best part about how Dave Canales wanted to come in and install this offense, to really take it slow and make sure we have all of the details in the foundation of what we want to be. Everybody is on the same page. I think that was the best part about what we've done up to this point to now prepare ourselves to be ready to compete. It just seemed like everybody was on the same page when we went out there. When you get the live bullets flying for the first time, a lot of times it can seem a little messy, especially with the younger guys for the first time, but it was very organized. We limit pre-snap penalties and things like that. There's always room for improvement, but for a first day, I think because of how Dave installed the offense, it was pretty good." End quote. So, Evan, how big of a difference is it going to make combined with a new offense coordinator, which really is kind of an advantage for Baker, as you already laid out, given that he already has an idea of the style? It's about getting the terminology down, whereas Kyle Trask has been under Byron Leftwich for the duration of his NFL career. But how big of a difference is it going to make for Baker getting in during the OTAs and the mini camps and the offseason workouts compared to last year when he was sent to the Panthers during training camp on a team who had a head coach hanging by a thread, you know, doing anything he could to try to save his job and then being shipped off to the Rams as well?
Look, yeah, I mean, this is Baker's last shot, at least as a starter. Because he's getting this opportunity because of those excuses, right? He had that amazing, 2019 season, 2020 season, and then had the injury, got thrust into a camp and, as you said, was set up to lose. So the last 2+ years or so were not properly set up for him to succeed. And this time around, he's going to get the foundation. He's going to be in full control of what's going on. He's healthy. So I understand why national pundits, why computer rankings, Vegas, are down on the Buccaneers. But I do think there's a part of me that believes they're underrated. Now, how underrated? That remains to be seen. I'm not here to tell you that this is a Super Bowl championship caliber roster. I think if you told me that everyone was going to be completely healthy for the entirety of the year and that the Buccaneers would never lose a player, then let's get to talking. Then I'm interested in what this team has to put out there. But offensively speaking, with what Dave can do, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Russell Gage, Trey Palmer, I thought did some pretty good things in the first day of OTAs. His speed excites me at the very least. Whether he makes a big impact or not is totally separate. They need someone who can stretch the field, though, something Scotty Miller really couldn't do the last couple of seasons after helping the team win a Super Bowl. So you have Tristan Wirfs. You have Ryan Jensen in the middle. You have, understandably so, a few question marks in Gedeki, Malk, Filer, and Leverett, and all these people. We can go through the whole line. I'm on the record saying that this offensive line is deeper than what people give it credit for. The cupboard's not bare, okay? Like, this is a pretty good situation to be in outside of the quarterback questions. But if the system is as quarterback friendly, is as offensive line friendly, is as wide receiver friendly, as running back friendly, if we have all these friendlies that have been thrown out there, this buzzword throughout the entire offseason, you know, paired up with a bunch of Super Bowl champions, former Super Bowl champions, I'm buying the offense. And to me, I don't think Baker is, you know, the big cue of Baker is going to be not turning the ball over. If he suffers the turnovers, that's the number one rule for Dave Canales. The number one rule: do not turn the football over. So if that is showing up in copious amounts, that's how Baker loses the job. That's all. I think Dave Canales will write that on the top of his board. He will pepper it in every single day: do not lose the football. And that's why they brought in Skip Pete, right? I mean, the Cowboys didn't drop one fumble last season. So, yeah, roundabout answer. A guy who's more optimistic than others, cautiously optimistic. And
always.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's May 23rd. There's a lot that can happen. As we know, last season blew up in everyone's faces when Jensen went down day two. But for now, everyone healthy outside of, you know, a couple guys who we think are going to be fine for game one of the season. All reports are good and status quo. And for me, 6.5 wins, you know, I'm on the record saying that they're probably going to win 7 or 8. So for me, I like the over.
Well, and Baker even talked about the, you know, the Bucs having the longest odds to win the division. And he had said, you know, it's, there's nothing to talk about. So they have to put something together and try to make this part of the year fun.
He had a great answer. Chris Godwin had a great answer to that. Said, you know, if I remember correctly, we were predicted to win it all, you know, one of the favorites to win it all last year. And look how that went. So, right. You know, if we're worried about what's on paper, obviously that didn't help us out last year. So, you know, it's all conjecture. And to be honest, you're going to notice now, look, everybody who's listening to Locked on Bucs, you guys are big Buccaneers fans. I want you to take notice. The national media, the people who are all over this NFL network, you know, all this stuff when they were locked in on the Buccaneers because Tom Brady was here, you're not going to get the same coverage as you've seen the last few years. So you're going to notice that what you hear here, you know, on Locked on Bucs, on what you hear on 10 Tampa Bay, it's going to be a little bit more tuned in than what the messaging is going to be out there. And right now your messaging is all gobbledygook because people half followed the team and, to be quite honest, did not really understand how poorly Byron Leftwich was for this team, offensively speaking, and how much that's going to change. How, you know, Tom Brady's personal woes and his inability to kind of stay in the pocket and be fearful of what was happening, how that affected the team. Look, Tom Brady, you know, I'd still prefer him under center, but I'm just saying that there are things that are being totally discounted and not brought into the argument because we're just going to say, oh, Baker sucks. They couldn't run the ball last year. All these things that, you know, I think is low hanging fruit, in my opinion. I'm not saying that they're totally wrong. I'm just saying that they're not totally right either. Like, there needs to be a counterbalance here.
Yeah. And obviously some things that are not put in the proper context when talked about by people that don't follow the team, which is why all of you guys come to us every single day, Monday through Friday, and right, especially on WTSP Wednesday. But that is going to do it for this episode. We want to thank you again for making Locked On Bucks your first listen or view every single day. And a special shout out to our everydayers. Again, coming up tomorrow, I will be joined by Logan Robinson of Bucks Game Day. But if you have questions, thoughts, ideas, concerns, anything at all, of course, you can send those over to LockedOnBucksPodcast@gmail.com. Drop them in the YouTube comments or slide into the DMs over on Twitter at Locked On Bucks. Of course, you can follow me at JRCO_Bucks. Evan is at EKlosky WTSP. Check out my work over at BucksNation.com. Check out everything that Evan is doing over on 10 Tampa Bay and at 10TampaBay.com. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, fire the cannons. We thank you so much for joining us right here on Locked On Bucks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.